Conventions That Made America, A Brief History of Consensus Building by Michael W. Capick. Dedication. This collection of historical conventions is dedicated to the men and women whose beliefs in liberty, property rights, the rule of law, and God's nature had an enduring impact on our nation. This book is dedicated to those early colonial Americans who devised a civil system for solving issues larger than themselves through gatherings or conventions. To the citizens, founders, and framers who had the fortitude to adopt those values and lead their country in a revolt for independence, and then to conceive the Constitution using the same convention process. To those Americans who sustained the same convention process through subsequent centuries, right up to 2017. To those scholars and historians who fought and brought to light the records of these processes so we and our descendants may learn and carry on this very American tradition. And to those courageous state legislators who have seen the light and voted for an Article 5 application to amend the Constitution. And of course to my parents, Bill and Delma, and my beautiful wife, Joanne, for her continuing support, and to Lisa, Nikki, and Jeff, my inspiration. Foreword by Arizona State Representative Kelly Townsend. Arizona has enjoyed a front seat in the Article 5 theater as we grow in knowledge and purpose of this tool to amend the Constitution. During a process spanning several years was one Mr. Mike Capick, who led the way for the citizenry of Arizona to become involved and ultimately play a critical role in the passage of the various petitions to Congress in 2017, where we called for an amendment convention. Mr. Capick has walked alongside his fellow patriots along this journey with dignity and persistence, resisting oppressive efforts to quash our efforts to fulfill the instructions given to us by our forefathers, should the Congress ever overreach their purpose. This persistence has paid off in exponential ways, as Arizona has gone on to host the first national convention in 156 years to discuss rules for a balanced budget amendment convention. We are pleased with this outcome and yet realize there is much more work to be done. One of our top priorities is educating the public, as well as government officials, about previous conventions that have taken place. If we are to accurately resurrect the exercise of gathering as states, if we are to perform those duties in a manner that will not open us up to legal scrutiny that could tie our work in the courts for years, then it is important to know and understand what the legal precedence is when conducting such a convention. Unfortunately, learning about the previous conventions has not been an easy task. We have had the benefit of counsel of constitutional scholars such as Rob Nadelson and Michael Ferris, yet their time is limited. An amalgam of convention summaries is long overdue, whereby busy legislators and congressmen can study pertinent history more efficiently. This is important if we are to quickly determine which conventions would be the most worthwhile to research further. Mr. Capick's work has provided this critical tool we need as we continue pressing forward in our pursuit to right the federal ship. I would be remiss if I failed to mention my gratitude to our founders for providing what I call Part B of Article 5. The remarkable visionary George Mason, who insisted that the states should also be able to propose an amendment, was able to see into today's condition where Congress was far too diverted from their original purpose, needing to be reined in. George Mason's honor has finally arrived, and his challenge is now heeded, with boldness and courage to prepare for what needs to be done. Mike Capick has helped arm us with a significant tool in order to help us realize that goal. Signed by Arizona State Representative Kelly Townsend, December 2017. Preface. This colossus organization we know as our federal government didn't happen overnight. It took decades. Today, our federal government has grown very large, overreaching, and is expanding its debt every day. This is not what the American people approved when they unanimously ratified the Constitution the founders had given to them in September of 1787. Over many decades, the D.C. government has evolved into a centralized conglomerate of deep state politicians, special interests, and bureaucrats who have found ways to benefit themselves. By gaming the Constitution, they learn to blend money and power to continue their laboratory of unconstitutional experiments, aware that the taxpayer would be there to pick up the pieces and repair their damages. They also counted on us accepting their largesse and remaining oblivious to their misdeeds. This is the story of how America has historically solved similar issues using the little-known convention process, a political gathering that is non-legislative, called to solve a specific issue and then dissolved. Although conventions are not a new process, their concept for resolving problems is unfamiliar to many Americans today. Many are unaware that we've done this hundreds of times over the last three centuries. Conventions have been called for state constitutions, the U.S. Constitution, ratifications, constitutional amendments, the Confederate Constitution, regional coordination, and Indian treaties. They've been used for water rights, economics, safety, ratifying approval and repair of government structure, and other purposes. Most have deliberated successfully, even if some of their goals may not have all been met. These gatherings or conventions are not to be confused with political party conventions or industry association conventions. As you will see, these gatherings were our nation's original problem-solving forums. In the early days of our nation, when local lawmakers couldn't resolve a larger-than-life issue, they asked other towns or colonies to gather and help by proposing, debating, and voting on a solution. They would then take it back to their towns or colony for approval and acceptance. This was building America through consensus. The convention process was used frequently and became part and parcel of America's DNA. As the poet John Milton said in 1689 regarding the English Convention Parliament, quote, "Now called, not as heretofore, by the summons of a king, but by the voice of liberty," end quote. Just before the signing of America's Constitution by the Convention's commissioners in September 1787, George Mason remarked that the new document could only be revised by Congress and not the people. A common analogy would be the fox in the hen house. After all, the purpose of the new document was to give the people the ultimate authority. Yet the revision method in Article 5, as initially written, excluded them. And so, after some debate, they agreed on the language and added the second clause to Article 5. Quote, "Or on the application of legislatures of two-thirds of the several states, shall call a convention for proposing amendments." Since conventions were a common practice during the era, an explanation of how they operated wasn't necessary in the Article 5 language. Today, however, many Americans don't know this story or the history because before 2017, current records indicate that the last convention of states occurred in 1948 and the last amending convention in 1861. In fact, it's not uncommon to hear patriotic Americans agree we haven't had a convention since the 1787 Constitutional Convention, much less any before that. As Senator Tom Coburn relates in Smashing the D.C. Monopoly, the campaign efforts for a balanced budget convention in the late 1970s came apart after a number of states had signed on. Nearing the Article 5 threshold, California began hearings when law professors Lawrence Tribe predicted a dire consequence, showing his historical naivete when he resurrected Senator Walden Hayburn's 1912 concerns for an amending convention. Was Senator Hayburn right or wrong? Tribe asked. If right, then a constitutional convention could propose any imaginable amendments, no matter how limited the official scope of the convention. The undeniable fact is that no definitive answer exists. End quote. That same ignorance exists today because much of the convention history has remained hidden, even to law professors. This notable selection of conventions contained herein is intended to help Americans understand their history of conventions. It is hoped that Americans can better judge how and why an Article 5 amending convention held today would work just as legally and safely as similar conventions of the states in the past. As you go through these pages, you will see the highlights of some notable conventions beginning in early England and spreading to New England and then to other colonies. It should be noted that the word convention is used 3 times in the Constitution, while the word democracy does not appear at all. This book is an introduction to the long and storied history of the convention process. It's a quick reference for state legislators and citizen activists alike. The footnotes reference further reading and research sources for you. It is hoped that readers will want to learn this very important part of our American tradition and civics history. Forward to Part 1. An Article 5 convention is the last bastion of public sovereignty. It is perhaps the sole remaining device by which the people of the states can act together as the people of the United States, not as citizens or subject of a supreme national government, but as the sovereign ultimate political authority from which springs the consent of the governed and the constitutional legitimacy of all public institutions and officers. So said Thomas E. Brennan, former Chief Justice of the Michigan Supreme Court.